This is the Feminem Podcast, the official podcast of Feminem, discussing all things femme, a little bit of EM, and everything in between. I'm Jenny Beck-Esme, editor-in-chief of Feminem.
And I'm Dara Kass, the other editor-in-chief of Feminem.
Dara, I feel like it's been so long since you and I got to be on a pod together. Hi.
Hi. Well, it's because you're so busy being like a doctor and stuff.
Yeah, there's like a lot to do to be a doctor. It's intense. So summer is here, which is super awesome. The weather is beautiful. I'm going out into nature. I'm like a nature plant-loving human being all of a sudden. It's wonderful. But what does that mean for us here at Feminem? Well, we have had a really big year, and we feel like we need a little bit of a summer vacation. So the last Fix 17 podcast is going to air next week. And then after that, we're going to be taking a little hiatus or a season break, if you will. You may still hear from us when the mood strikes because there's something we really need to say, but don't really expect a regular weekly podcast to show back up until probably the fall. Don't worry, there's going to still be lots of great written content on the blog, and we're going to be hard at work doing all of the things that Feminem is working on our mission over the summer. But before we leave you for our summer hiatus, we thought it'd be fun to do a little year in review and a look forward. So Dara, you and I are both academic docs, which means we think in a July to July year. So it might be weird for some people to think a year in review happens in July, but that's how we think. So looking back from July 2017 until now, a lot has happened, hasn't it?
Yeah. I think I'm actually kind of, I get overwhelmed actually at this last year. And I will take some credit for that insofar as idle hands are the devil's play. Mm-hmm. And so last year I decided to go per diem at work. And I kind of made this my mission to see what we could do with it. Mm-hmm. And I am both extraordinarily proud and a little overwhelmed at what we've done in the past year. So what would you say is our biggest change or one of the big changes we've made this year?
I mean, that's like literally too big a question to even answer. I don't know. So over the last, between July 2017 and now, we put together a conference, we launched a podcast, we're putting together our next conference, and we're starting other new projects. Let's dive into the nitty-gritty and make sure everyone knows everything that's happened this year. So last summer, this time, we were prepping for the Feminem Idea Exchange 2017, or Fix 17, which was our first in-person conference. Now we're in the midst of prepping for the second version of that, Fix 18. What are your thoughts on that, Dara? It's going to be bigger, better, newer, brighter, shinier.
Yeah. So last year we were selling out the last of the tickets for Fix 17, which had 250 participants. And we were trying to figure out what the best conference that we could imagine would look like for women in medicine, right? We had some great speakers submitting. We were doing a workshop day attached to the conference. We were really kind of taking all of our best experiences, putting it together and imagining what that would look like. We wanted it to be fun and innovative and exciting and invigorating. And so we imagined this experience that would transform the person that was there. By October for that conference, we had sold out what we expected, the 250 tickets for that first conference. And we really kind of were shocked at how many people came from actually around the world, right? So we had people from Switzerland and Canada and Australia. We had non-emergency physicians, but they were physicians. We had non-women, but they were, you know, men. We had non-doctors that were PAs or EMTs, medical students. And that was kind of awesome. And we were able to kind of blow up some of our, you know, the biases and the stereotypes, you know, by having everyone wear the shirt, the feminist shirt. Like to me, that was probably one of my best visual experiences of the conference, is to see this amazing cross-section of people all wearing the same shirt that screamed, or at least said, I'm a feminist. And that means really, I just believe in equity and equality. So that was awesome. The conference, you know, I don't know if you know, so I turned 40 in September and then the conference is in October. And that kind of 5-week period of time was probably one of the more validating experiences of my entire life, right? I turned 40, looked down the pike of what we're doing. And then I saw this thing come to life where all these people were just like connected to each other. And it was magical. And so for the next year, we changed venues. So we are going to have it at the New York Academy of Medicine, which is a which is uptown. It's another auditorium. It holds 583 people in the theater, I guess. So we sold out of those tickets in 10 days, which is incredible. We actually added in for this year the foundation sponsorships, which means that departments and institutions could pre-purchase tickets for their faculty and residents ahead of sales so that they could guarantee that they could send a cohort of people to the conference, which allowed them to have a common voice of experience to bring back to their department. And we thought that was really important for the general mission of FemiNEM, to allow departments to have a critical mass of people that had had this experience that they could then change things on the ground in their departments. And we limited the number of foundation sponsorships this year because we wanted to make it exclusive, like give people a chance to be part of the first, and also not oversell before the conference tickets sold out because we were nervous.
And right, I guess we had to let people get tickets still.
Justifiably so, that we were going to not have enough tickets for the public. So we did that. We had an enormous response on sponsorship this year. So we actually tripled the number of sponsors we had from last year to this year, I think, as far as, like, you know, corporate sponsorships. By that, we mean industry sponsorships. And we do have a couple left, if anyone is interested, a couple of spots left. We haven't really been pushing it as much because we're like moved past it. But if anyone out there is still interested in being a Fix 18 sponsor, we have some spots left. And so by the time we launched tickets for Fix 18, which had, you know, these 583 tickets or whatever, we sold out in 10 days. And that was exciting, I think, mm-hmm. and a little sad for me. Did you feel sad a little bit?
No. Why were you sad?
Because I know.
Just meant that there were people that couldn't come.
Yeah,
that
would make I feel bad. Like, you know. Yeah. Part of our thing is that we're really inclusive. And on some level, by having a limited number of tickets, you know, there are...
Oh, no, I just got sad.
No, I know. I'm sad anyway every day, but that's a different story. So regardless.
But, you know, even though there's a limited number of tickets of people that can come to the actual conference, just like this year, we're going to be bringing that content to the entire FemiNEM community in all ways possible, videos, podcasts, blog posts. So
yes,
we will be sharing.
Right. So that's good. So that's that. And then we actually added in the affix room afterwards because right. we felt like, oh, this is a great creative way to do it. So we will have the live stream on site affix room sponsored by MRAP, which is amazing, with the amazing Jan Schoenberger live hosting. And that gave us
– and that's the resident room. That's to allow us to bring residents
right.
in
so,
too, which is good.
Based on like logistics, we had a limited number of resident tickets and those sold out super quick, like in the first day. So now we're able to have another 150, let's say residents, up to 200 residents come and be on site. And so we still have tickets for that left because we actually knew that those would not really sell in bulk until July because most residents don't know their schedule. So they don't even know right. if they can come. So we have about 100 tickets, maybe 80 tickets left for that. And so if anyone's out there listening who wants to come and is a resident or wants to sponsor a resident, this would probably be a good time to take those tickets. And they're $99. Like they're literally a nominal fee to cover the food and beverage for the most part, and or the processing fees we have for like the bags and whatever it is. So, I mean, that's the structure of Fix 18. The content is going to be exciting. I mean, we started getting the stuff for the swag bags and we keep integrating stuff that we think people needed. So I guess I should say this if you're listening. So one of the first swag items we put in the Fix 18 swag bags is actually tissues.
There might be some tears. Tears might happen.
I mean, for me, like the idea, like you're going to need tissues. So like it's way better than using your sleeve.
Get ready, people. Bring your tissues. Bring some extra mascara. Right. You might need to reapply.
Right.
The other new thing that we are going to have at the conference this year is the childcare room.
Right. So
you want to tell us about that?
Right. Adam Rosh, a Rosh Review, I should say, was the first willing sponsor. And that by that, I mean like day one to sponsor this childcare room, which is going to be incredible. So basically it's an on-site room that's going to have imported. They're a group called Sitter Studio, which are New York-based event childcare. And for anyone out there who's looking for childcare at a conference, there is an entire industry of event childcare, people that will go to a conference and bring background checked, insured caregivers that are comfortable doing childcare on site for your event. And that's actually I didn't even know about that until we started looking into it. This group is actually artists, local artists, singers, painters, like a group of people that are looking for some consistent like job while they're doing this incredibly creative thing. So it's going to be a pretty cool room, actually. And I think that anyone out there who wants to use the space will tell us if they have tickets. We're going to put an email out in August, like around July or August, asking for who's going to use it, because we need to know how many kids are coming in order to have the right number of sitters. So that's super exciting.
It's super exciting. So I think when we start pioneering that at Fix, word's going to get out and things like that are hopefully going to just trickle down into all the other conferences and make it so much easier for people to bring their children to their conferences.
I, you know, as somebody that has and has not brought a child to a conference, I think that there's no right answer, right? So I prefer usually to not bring my kids because I like to be on my own, but that's not always going to be anybody's, that's what everyone wants. So we just want to make that option possible and mm-hmm. better people communicate with us, how many kids they have, how old those kids are. And then these sitters actually will be available for evening babysitting as well, if the person wants to do that. So that's a great.
Oh, that's great.
They have this whole system where they will actually take the child care provider that's with your child during the day. And if they're available, they can sit for you at night for like the dinners or the party, which is they're deliberate about the consistency of child care, which I think is so thoughtful and something that as mm-hmm. parents, we don't even like we forget, like we don't even think to ask. But it's something that they right. actually said to me, which I think is amazing.
That is awesome. Okay, so then one of the other big changes this year between Fix 17 and Fix 18 is that last year we had a workshop day that was attached to the Fix conference. And we did that strategically at the first time so we could see how workshop day went. But we decided maybe this year that we could split the workshop day off from the main conference. And we thought that that would be a cool way to then make a kind of traveling workshop or a workshop that could go around the country separate from the conference and maybe reach some more people. So we have our first ever Revive 19, which is going to be our first traveling workshop. Dara, tell us about Revive.
So right. So last year we did the workshops attached to the conference because that's what cool conferences did. And we were figuring out what people wanted and what they needed. And I realized at the end of the by the last day, I was done, emotionally spent. I had cried too much.
So much crying.
Like I didn't have much left to
so much learning and being inspired and like not just crying. I mean, it was such a moment.
Right. So
we were tired.
We talked at the end. We actually canceled the last session and did like just a big debrief. And we realized that everyone would have been better if it was separate from the big conference because you'd have more to bring to the table. So we went back and said, okay, the main conference is in New York, and actually we'll talk about Fix 19 a little bit, save the date, but we think we've secured the venue for that as well. And that will be in September of 2019. So we know that the main conference is going to stay in New York again, probably for the next year. After that, we're not sure. But if we're going to keep it in New York, could we then bring something else to the rest of the country to make it easier for travel and more importantly, get out? You know, out of our little
and more interesting.
Totally. And I need a vacation. So we decided on Scottsdale, Arizona after some crowdsourcing and looking at like the spas and retreats that we thought would be great. And so Revive is going to be at a resort in Scottsdale called the Andaz, which is a Hyatt resort. It's going to be a Sunday evening until a Tuesday afternoon. And the way we're going to structure it is that there's going to be a lot of downtime because we know that there's a lot of interpersonal, like, you know, networking and even having some one-on-one meetings. So things like, I want to write a book. And so I have a book proposal. Can somebody take an hour and look at it and give me feedback? Or I want to write an article for the New York Times or the Washington Post or the LA Times or whatever it's going to be. Getting some real-time feedback into what it looks like to submit to national media. And so the way the conference is going to run, Sunday night we'll get there, or Sunday afternoon, we'll have a group event for like an icebreaker, get everyone, you know, oriented to each other, and then having like a cocktail party / get-to-know-you event, similar to what we do at the regular Fix 18 conference. And then we're going to have half-day sessions over 2 days where we do workshops and group events that are centered around revitalization of yourself. And so we're going to have, you know, one of the days is going to be much more on resilience and interpersonal connectedness. How do you narrative writing, meditative writing, poetry for physicians, interpersonal connections, understanding what makes you think and click and how do you find your kind of resilience. And then the next day is going to be a lot of workshops and sessions based upon like true functional, operational skills that we need to develop and have better as physicians. So things like grant writing, starting a nonprofit, running for office, understanding your financial health, being better at organizational skills, understanding how to get promoted. So these very tangible skills, once you've understood a little bit about what makes you like think and click and what you want to grow, if you could, then the second day we'll give you those skills and actually kind of figure out what you want to do with it. So the website's up. We're actually finalizing all the workshop leaders now. We're bringing in like leaders on health and wellness. More than half of our faculty will not be physicians, which I think is super exciting. And I think it's a great opportunity for us as physicians to learn from non-physicians on so many of these skills that we are expected to have naturally, but other people have spent careers curating, right? We are not really that good at resilience, although we're expected to be. So if we can look towards social scientists and psychologists and coaches and fitness experts and all these other people who have incredible skill sets and they can, and writers and poets, to bring those skills to us, I think it's going to be pretty exciting. That conference, we're going to start with about 100 spots. We expect that they will be all, we are looking for actually to be an attending only conference. And the reason is we're trying to start with one finite group of people so we can get feedback from a relatively similarly experienced group of people so that they can tell us what works and doesn't work. And we expect this to branch out year over year, and maybe even we'll have another one in 6 months and not even a whole year away. So, if you're out there and you are a attending physician in emergency medicine and maybe even out of emergency medicine, but still an attending physician, and it's all female. So one of our commitments with this is to actually have a fully female conference and a fully female faculty. And that really has to do with the space of revitalization. We don't do that often, where we say this is really going to be a unique experience, but it goes back to answering that question that we get a lot about women's development groups and conferences. FIX as a big conference is inclusive because it's about the movement towards equity and allies and advocates, and it should be inclusive of everybody, we think, including non-physicians, including anybody that's in organizational leadership that can help advocate for policies. But when it comes to the retreat, that's going to be intimate and developmental and personal and honest. I think we feel, at least for the first year, that it should be all women, female identifying physicians, so that we can have a space by which that journey is protected. And, you know, you can have both.
This is probably just the first of many revives, right? So they're not all going to look identical, but we're starting with this package, and so we can get some feedback from this one core group of people, and then we can branch out from there. So those dates are February 3rd through the 5th, 2019. It's going to be in Scottsdale, Arizona. The website is up. Mark your calendar now. We're hoping that we can have tickets on sale the week of July 1st, right?
Yeah, and we're not pre-selling any tickets. So, but we are open to sponsorships. In fact, we are looking for anyone that, especially in the space of physician resilience, wellness, lifestyle stuff, in addition to employers, but you know, everything we get, and this will segue into the next segment, but this conference will support our research foundation.
Right.
So any sponsorship we get and any of the kind of after the operational costs, any money that is left over after this is done, will actually be used to support the gender equity in medicine research foundation.
Right.
Have you heard about that, Jenny?
I think I'm on the board of directors of that. So I think I've gotten a few emails about that. Yeah. So I was thinking back to this three-ish years ago when we launched Feminem, we thought we were doing the free open access thing, and that was how we were going to move toward gender equity, was using social media and blogs. And at that point, we hadn't even thought about a podcast to kind of move the gender equity conversation forward. But we've quickly, over the past couple of years, realized that there's a lot more to it than that, and that we want to make some more institutional change, and that requires a little bit of data sometimes. So we established the Gender Equity in Medicine Research Foundation, which is going to do just that. Tell us about it, Dara.
Right. So, like all good things, this is the brainchild of Dr. Esther Chu, who was like, what if I could just have a foundation? How could we just do this ourselves? And so I said, okay, you want it, you got it, you know? But really what it is we are fortunate through Feminem to have the capacity to support the research that we need to prove the operational case for the solutions we propose, which is a lot of words to say that we know that data is king and that publications are important. And maybe it's because we're academic physicians, and it's not just publications in the New England Journal or in Annals of Emergency Medicine. It's the New York Times, it's Slate, it's the Washington Post, it's Harvard Business Review, it's Forbes. I mean, there are so many places that the message of what we're doing has to get out. And in order to do that, we need to have the support to make that happen. And so hiring researchers and or,
data analysts, grant writers. Data analysts,
exactly. All these people that can help us have a space. And, you know, Feminem itself is a for-profit entity, and it is only insofar as if you go back to the tax laws and all this other stuff, like it didn't need a board of directors, right? We had this massive cohort of people that are advising us. But when it came down to like, paying taxes, right? I was like, you know what? That's a price we're willing to pay for the product that we want to move forward quickly. It takes a year to set up a nonprofit from that perspective, and we weren't willing to wait. So we set it up as a for-profit entity, and we've done well, and it's great. That's wonderful. Now we have the space and the resources to say, okay, we're deliberate. We can start getting this research going, but if we had a nonprofit that could support the research, we could take in grant funding ourselves. We could support we could take from industry that wants to support gender and medicine research, and we could then use our talented pool of researchers and academics to then diffuse that out to the people that need it. And so it's time for us to step up in that regard and support the research that is happening, because gender research is notorious. I mean, it's funded somewhat by the NIH, but it could be funded more than it is now. And we have some capacity to support that. Our goal is to have the infrastructure in place to accept the grants to make that happen, and also to create a portal by which people could apply for us for smaller grants. And again, the good thing about gender equity research in general is it's labor intensive, but it is really, it turns over in a good way that is different from, let's say, basic science research.
Sure.
So I feel like there's a lot that we can do that can make a real impact in this space. And we're just getting started. And it's pretty cool that we have this new conference that's about revitalization that may throw off a little bit of money to support the research that we're doing to prove the ways to make people's lives better. Like, it seems totally aligned.
Right. I mean, part of this came just directly from us having a need. You know, we're trying to create different policies. You know, we want very evidence-based policies that Feminem puts forward for lactation, for parental leave, for all of these things. But we need the data to really make these robust arguments. And we need to support the researchers doing the research to get that data.
Right. So Jenny, tell us about the policy you're working on, or at least there's a couple policies
in the works. We are very near to completion of a parental leave policy, which should be going out very soon, which is giving some guidelines to departments for how they should handle both maternity and paternity leave for their employees. And then the other new one in the works is a hydration policy that we need to let people, particularly pregnant people, drink fluids on the job, that our job is a very dehydrating job and that is dangerous to all of us. And we need to support our employees in their hydration on their shifts.
Right. So I think that this is kind of like, if we go looking into what's next for Feminem, I think that we've made the case. We've built the community, which is amazing. And that's been that was the most important mission from the beginning, to create a resource that people can come together and find each other and find, you know, I look at the Speakers Bureau, which has been extraordinary from addressing the mantle in the room and getting speakers out there. But one of the other huge things it's done is the Speakers Bureau is used like a LinkedIn for emergency docs. And what it means is that when somebody wants to connect with somebody in emergency medicine they maybe met or wanted to thank or whatever it was, they go through the Speakers Bureau, they email them, we send them the email, and that connects them, right? That is a really good that's the story of what phase, I guess, one of Feminem was, right? And phase two was kind of to prove our case financially and say, listen, this is something you should invest in. You should invest in these people. You should support this entity. If you are part of this mission and you are a vocal part, right? People want to work for you, right? corporations, companies, employers that have been overt supporters of gender equity in medicine in total, and, you know, a little bit for us, you know, that is something that that both gendered physicians, all physicians look for. They look for work environments that are supportive and inclusive. And this is a great way to make your case for that. And the last thing we did, I think, for the conference was to say, it's great to do things online. It's great that employers are supporting us. It's great that we've made the case that this is a valuable asset to the community of medicine. What would happen if we took that spark and ignited it and put it in person? And that's what these conferences are. There is something that, I mean, the response to the conferences has been overwhelming, I think. And, you know, we're going to grow the conference again from 2018 to 2019 and see how big that is. Within reason, we're pretty sure that we will never have a conference greater than 1,000 people or so, because beyond that, the intimacy of the experience is lost. And so although there are, you know, 30,000 whatever emergency physicians or whatever, and the members of ASAP, or, you know, those conferences get larger and larger, we're going to still keep our conference small and intimate for that reason. And now it's time to step up and make policies and research and advocate for change operationally and provide consulting services. So we will not do it from Feminem, but we will certainly point people in the direction if they're looking for salary equity consulting that will help them find out who is good at figuring out their salary gaps or their culture gaps or their promotion gaps. Like, we are done proving the case, although we'll continue to do it. Mm-hmm. But we've proven our case. And now we're going to be interested in getting people to just, like, we need to solve these problems. All these problems, but right now these problems have been gendered medicine.
Well, with that, Dara, you are off to camp. And I'm sticking around town to orient a new batch of interns. So it must be summer in emergency medicine, right?
Summer in emergency medicine. We don't have seasons. We don't have days. We have new interns. We don't have weeks. We just kind of move on. We have no, I'm convinced. I mean, as somebody that like has said this for years, like the reason to go into academics, it's like when, this is a horrible analogy, but it's true. Like when you're blind, you need to have circadian rhythm reintroduction in order to feel connected to some normalcy. This is our circadian rhythm reintroduction, right? Our lives would be continuous. There are no weekends. There are no days. There are no nights. There are no nothing. We're in academics because July somehow resets our calendar and gives us a landmark to say it's year's beginning, year's ending. This All is right. it. Here we go again. Well, that, Jenny, I want to say thank you for doing this with me and for being part of this. I'm glad we got to re-podcast together because you've been a very busy girl.
I am so glad I got to chat with you. I have missed you. Thank you.
You're welcome. And congratulations on passing your board.
Ooh, thank you. Board certified.
Jenny Beck, Esme, MD, board certified in emergency medicine.
Legit.
For everyone else, have a great summer and we will talk to you soon.
All right. Bye.